Tikanis Anthopoulos?
Hard at work, trying to get it turned around.
Wow. It's October 8th. You're taking this seriously, huh?
I think I should, yeah.
Yeah.
Good idea.
Yeah.
You think he should be on a Hawaiian vacation right now?
Well, no, I just, you know. You sound a little down, more down than
you. I've just been going through some things, and you know, it's you actually get a lot done at this time. It's quiet, and there's a lot of things to kind of work through, and just starting to have some conversations with some other GMs and find out who could be available. And you know, you go into the off season not necessarily knowing, other than the free agent market, what's out there. And there's been some interesting dialogue, some interesting names that could come available via trade. But I think you're in work mode right now, and you have a lot of things to get done. You know, the big thing for us is to fix the rotation, and you know, that'll, I think, really go a long way to turning things around for us. So that's really been the focus, and obviously we need to do some things with the staff as well.
We're gonna ask you about the moves you made on your coaching staff today. But before that, have you, in your own mind, resolved the issues and questions about the season that has now gone past and are moving forward, or are you still trying to figure out some of the things that went wrong and why?
I think a little bit of both. I mean, I think some things are resolved to an extent, but we're still going through it. And you still, I always like to try to take a little bit of time after the season. You get so caught up in it, week to week, day to day. And that's why a lot of times, you know, you get asked mid-season about this player. Is he coming back? Would you exercise the option? It's amazing how quickly it changes. Just from month to month, you know, I was asked a lot about Adam Lind early on, and he was on his way to having a solid season, and he had a tremendous September where he had 7 home runs, and that certainly strengthens his position, and it does change the evaluation a little bit. Or a guy like Santos, the way he ended the season impacts, and conversely, some guys that slide towards the end, you'll have a little more concern. So you're always still evaluating it, because you can really sit back and not have the distraction of the game that night and things going on, and really take your time and go through all aspects of the organization to see where you can improve and things you can do better.
Here's what happened today for those of you keeping track. Dwayne Murphy will retire. Chad Mottola, who had been in the Blue Jays system and was given credit for the skill set, offensive skill set of a bunch of players that came through the system to the Blue Jays, brought up to the Blue Jays as the major league hitting coach, was let go today. Some have suggested, Alex, that Chad in some ways becomes a sacrificial lamb. This was a team clearly that maybe didn't underachieve as much from a statistical point of view, but if you watch them every day, you saw a lot of bad at-bats, a lot of guys not changing their outlook when they had two strikes on them and runners on base. But isn't that more the responsibility of the individual player, or was Mottola just not getting the message through?
No, I think, I mean, I know, like you said, I understand, you know, with Murph stepping down, it changed the dynamic for us a little bit. When we went with that tandem, obviously, Dwayne had been the hitting coach here for a long time, and you know, guys like Jose Bautista and Encarnacion, and we had a lot of guys that emerged and developed under him. And with Dwayne's skills as an outfielder, Gold Gloves, and so on, we thought it would be a good tandem to have Dwayne and Chad both. Chad had, like you mentioned, had tremendous success with some of our young players, and obviously Murph had tremendous success with some of the established guys like Bautista and Encarnacion. So we almost viewed them as a tandem going into the season, where Murph can continue to have that relationship with Bautista and Encarnacion and have continuity there. Chad would have the guys like Lind and Lowry and Colby, and continue to work with those guys, and Murph can work in the outfield. But with Dwayne deciding to step down, and he really told us the last homestand, the last 3 days of the season, and I told him we would talk, you know, once we got a little more into the offseason, let things settle down, and just wanted to hear him out on what his thought was. And he just felt like he's had enough of the big league travel and just the grind, I guess, of doing the job. He's been in the big league so long, he doesn't really want to do that anymore. Once Gibby and I talked about it, we just said, you know what, we viewed them as a tandem. This is a chance maybe to change it up and go in some other direction. And Gibby has some guys that he's worked with in the past that he has good, strong relationships with. So it was as much that. But, you know, I've talked to Chad and have told him that the door's open to stay in the organization and that we can talk and for him to take a few days and decide what he wants to do. I expect him to get a lot of phone calls, a lot of job offers. He's well-regarded. There's not going to be an issue with him finding a job. You know, whether one of 29 other clubs has a big league opportunity, that remains to be seen. But there's still a scenario that he'll be back with us, and we'll just give him as much time as he needs to work it out.
But do you disagree with my assessment and observation that, as I said at the beginning of that question, you know, that this team had too many bad at-bats?
There were times, and I think it's not fair to blame the coach. I think it's the package. It falls on the players, obviously, the entire staff. I mean, I guess I don't know that you ever point it to one person overall, but we were eighth in runs scored in the American League, which is ultimately middle of the pack, and in ninth in OPS, which is about the same thing. And some guys had some nice years, some nice turnaround years. Obviously, we had a bunch of guys that missed time, which didn't help, whether it's Reyes or Laurie overall. But yeah, there's no question. We can certainly improve. We can improve our at-bats. We can try to be more selective, do some of those things. No, some of it falls on me, obviously, to change some of the players and get some more production there. But I don't think it's fair to blame Murph or Chad or anybody like that. I think it's a combination of the players and all of us as a staff.
Well, I'm not trying to blame Murph or Mottola at all. I'm saying it is mostly on the players. What I'd like to know is, were they not listening to him? Or was he being maybe too respectful in the early stages of a major league career to the players?
You know what, I guess I never got the sense that they didn't, I mean, I'd say this, I think the players had the respect of both Murph and Chad, so I don't think there was ever a problem. You know, there are players that do things a certain way. We've been a home run team for the last few years. We've got a lot of power bats. And yeah, there are times where, you know, it can call for maybe getting a guy over doing some of those things, but no, I don't think there was ever an issue of players. You know, sometimes players are trying to do things and they can't do it, and they're trying and they're trying to give themselves up and do some of those things. But I think this was as much an opportunity with Murph stepping down to change the dynamic up a little bit for us.
You talked about that you have to try to change some of the people, some of the players. Do you have to marry in your own mind the kind of hitting coach you're bringing in and his philosophies and the players that you're bringing in? Or will it be up to those players to adapt to what they're going to be asked to do?
I think a little bit of both. I think a good hitting coach will take a player's strengths. You know, you have a hitting coach coming in, and I don't know that you're going to make a whole lot of changes or try to with a guy like Reyes or a guy like Batista or a guy like Encarnacion. I think they've been very productive offensive players, and you just want to maintain them and find out what works. But if a guy like Brett Laurie, which I think we all believe still has more in him and can take a step forward, you know, maybe there's some work that he can do there. If there's a guy like Colby Rasmus who had a nice year, hit for average and power and played a very good center field, if he can hit, you know, step it up a notch more and become an all-star, there could be some work done there. So I think it's a combination of both. I think players can get better as well. So as an organization and as a team, can we use the whole field a little bit more? Sure. I think you do have to be careful because one of our strengths is to hit the ball out of the ballpark. And if you overweight using the whole field, things like that, it certainly can take away from some of your strengths. But yeah, I would say we've always talked about if we can try to cut down on some of those strikeouts. And that's where in tight games, man on third, less than two outs, if we can put the ball in play, things can happen. We can get that run in.
With Alex Anthopoulos. Okay, a couple of quick questions about your pitching staff, because that's going to be part of the focus, maybe the focus, during this offseason, and specifically the starting rotation. Have you decided what you're going to do with Josh Johnson?
No. He had the cleanup, and we'll know more. Obviously, we have up until November to make a determination, but we'll really probably take as much time as we can, hopefully get him off a mound and see how he feels, but we have not made a determination yet.
Have you had conversations about the possibility of putting Brandon Morrow back into the bullpen where he was when you got him from Seattle?
We have not. And I think, you know, the reason is we had in 2011, he pitched 180 innings, and we watched him and watched his innings overall. But he pretty much pitched the whole year for us and ended the year very strong. And he came into 2012 with a tremendous start, looked like he was on his way to the All-Star game, and pulled a rib, which is obviously not arm-related. And even when he came back at the end of the year, continued to pitch with an ERA below 3. So he showed us the ability to at least go 180 innings. He showed us the ability to strike out 200 guys in 180 innings. And even in 2012, with 125 innings pitched, he won 10 games for us. So what happened to him this past year, he started throwing a cutter in spring training, flared up his forearm. He tried to fight through it and probably didn't have enough downtime, and it's just taking a little bit of time to get him back going. But he just started playing catch. There's been no issues so far, but obviously we'll know more. Probably the first or second week in November, we'll get him off a mound, and that'll be the first big test for him. But so far, it's moving in the right direction. He's been playing catch the last few days and has had no problems.
Depending on what you're able to do during the offseason with regard to acquiring starting pitching, whether it's through free agency or trades, have you had conversations about even addressing the possibility of either Cecil or McGowan going into the starting rotation? Both of them were starters.
Yeah, we talked about Cecil at one point earlier in the season, just internally. We never talked to Brett about it, but we kicked it around at a brief moment because obviously he had had the success and we had those holes that had come up. But Brett obviously seems like he found himself in the bullpen, and it's easy to say, well, let's put him back in the rotation and he'll be, you know, a starter that, you know, won all those games for us, I think, in 2010. McGowan's someone we've talked about more realistically as a starter. He has a greater desire to do it. I don't know that Brett is hard as back and starting, because he's now finally become an all-star as a reliever and he's finally had some success. So with McGowan, it'll depend on, obviously, can he hold up, and that's the unknown. I think right now we would explore maybe stretching him out a little bit in spring training, but really being non-committal to saying, okay, you're definitely competing for a rotation spot. We would just watch him carefully. He was going two innings in the minor leagues, might get him to three innings in spring training and work from there. If there's no issues, no soreness, we can continue to build up four innings, five innings, maybe it works itself out. But he was so good as a reliever. We finally have him back on the mound. We don't want to take any chances that he gets hurt again.
Only got about a minute here, Alex. You said you just started to have some discussions with other general managers. The playoffs are obviously still ongoing. Teams are going to come out of that and need to make decisions on players and look to make changes. When should fans think that things are going to start to move in terms of the offseason and move different teams, including your own, will start to do things?
I think realistically, you're looking at the GM, I'm sorry, not the GM meetings. You're looking at the winter meetings probably beginning to mid-December is the most likely scenario. We have the GM meetings first week in November, I think around the 8th or 9th, and you have a lot of dialogue there, and you lay the groundwork, and you normally come back from those meetings and have a lot of internal dialogue and do some more work there and either try to get a deal done before you go to the winter meetings or get a deal done right around or after the winter meeting. So I would say before the new year, but the likelihood is that things really, you see a lot of transactions, whether it's free agency or trades, probably the week following the winter meeting, so mid-December.
Last point on an only slightly related topic. Have you made any announcement about spring training, about moving from Dunedin?
No, we have not. I know there's been a lot written about it. We are having discussions with the Astros. We've definitely agreed to go down the path and explore Palm Beach Gardens with them, which would be it's a very beautiful area. It'd be a nice complex, but there's still plenty of work to be done in terms of stadium design, approvals, things like that. But we are moving in that direction, and we're hopeful it can get done, but it's certainly far from done at this point.
What's it like? I mean, it is, about an hour, 45 minutes north of Fort Lauderdale Airport?
It's probably about... it's probably about an hour from Fort Lauderdale, and you'd be very close to the Marlins, the Cardinals, the Mets, and with us in the Astros, it would be five teams less than an hour away from each other. And obviously, the East Coast of Florida is a really nice area, so brand-new complex right off the highway, and it's got the potential to be great.
Yeah, the problem is the real estate there is a lot more expensive than it is over on the other coast, you know, and so you're going to have a lot of your fans who have invested money in places down in the Dunedin-Clearwater area.
Yeah, what he's saying, Alex, is he's already looking at places in that
area.
Yeah,
I already checked it out.
Bob's Anthopoulos. Already got one in Palm Beach Gardens.
Yeah.
No, I'm telling you, the real estate's three times what it is in Tampa.
I think someone said per capita, it's the wealthiest. I think Palm Beach is one of the wealthiest areas in North America, something to that extent.
Almost as wealthy as it used to be.
But I don't know how many of our fans actually buy places or rent. Yeah. I've never heard complaints, obviously, from fans of the Cardinals or the Expos back when they were there, the Marlins, the Mets. You know, obviously there was some success there even when the Dodgers were in zero. There used to be a lot of teams on the East Coast. I don't know that any of them moved because of the price of real estate. It just seemed like they got new deals on either the West Coast or went out to Arizona to get new stadiums. So I agree with you. The price of real estate is higher. I've never heard fans complain about it.
Good golf courses there, though.
Right.
Just so you know. Thank you, Mr. Anthopoulos, as always. We'll let you breathe for a few days, and we'll call you back down the road as things continue
to
percolate.
About it.
Thank you.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Goodbye.